Hello and welcome to Happy Place, the show where I, Fern Cotton, insert well-being and mindfulness directly into your lovely little ears. And this week is no exception, as we spend time in the company of transformational breathing guru, Rebecca Dennis.
Once you've let go, once you've got through all the sediment and the, you know, the dregs of the emotional stuff and the stories, then it's like, then you can really explore and expand your awareness inside. That can take you on this magical mystery tour of which is inside us.
Rebecca, right, listen up, is going to change your life. She did mine. And what's more, she's one of the fantastic people running sessions at the Happy Place Festival this summer. We're coming to London in August and Manchester in September. For full details and to get your tickets, go to happyplacefestival.com now. Honestly, if you get a chance to sit in a room with Rebecca, oh, I mean, game changing. Game changing.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And now, here's the show. I find myself in the back streets of London today, headed to a very calm and peaceful yoga studio to meet Rebecca Dennis, who is a transformational breath coach. What is transformational breathing, I hear you ponder? Well, good question. She will very eloquently explain all. It's quite a new discovery for me too. And we're just going to generally talk about breathing, which might sound a bit bizarre. You know, what is there to discuss? How on earth can we get into bad habits with breathing? And how on earth can you breathe in the wrong way? Well, she's going to talk a lot about that today. I've been lucky enough to work with Rebecca. She helped write a section for my book, Calm, and also I popped in to experience her amazing one-on-one sessions that were just surprising and exhilarating and very relieving as well. So let's go and find Rebecca and have a good old chat and a good old breathe.
Yeah, lovely.
For people out there who either haven't read your brilliant section that is in my book, Calm, or haven't read your amazing book, The Breathing Tree, can you explain what transformational breath work is?
Yes. Where do I begin? What we're teaching is conscious breathing. So conscious, connected breathing. And it's a self-healing technique that helps us to look at clearing restricted breathing patterns and opening up our respiratory system to its full capacity. And when we do that, then we can let go of physical and emotional tension that we're holding on to. So transformational breath to me is like the foundation to all breath works, because we're really looking at people's breathing patterns and the way that they're breathing. And our breathing pattern is as unique as our thumbprint. And the majority of us are not using our breathing system to its full capacity. So we're using probably only about a third of our respiratory system. And the majority of teenagers and adults are not breathing fully. What we're doing with this work is not about learning new tricks. It's about remembering how we breathed when we were babies and when we were toddlers, when we are fully present and we don't have these hang-ups and we don't have inhibitions and we're not worrying about what people think about us. So we're not holding our breath and we're just letting all our emotions hang out and just be. So it's just in that way, it's like having therapy, but without having to do the talking, because we're not going over and over a story. And often it's out of our perception of our story, but really working deep into the subconscious as well. And in that way, we're working on the mental, emotional, physical and spiritual level.
I really want to get massively into that in a minute. There's so many questions buzzing around my head. But first of all, I know you've got a really interesting story about how you stumbled upon transformational breathwork, because for you, you'd had your own personal situation going on and it had been something that came into your life at the right time.
Absolutely. When I came across this work, I was in a really, really dark place, and I'd been living with depression for 20 years and I've been taking medication for 15 years, so that's a long time.
Yeah.
I'd tried so many different therapies. So I tried yoga and I tried meditation, but sometimes I would find that I was so in my head that that was actually like torture. And I tried different detoxes and went to therapists, and a lot of it was like, for example, if you go for a massage, you feel great afterwards, but then it's like a temporary fix sometimes, and then you feel the same again the following day. And I was finding that a lot of the techniques that I was using to help me were just temporary fixes. So I reached this point where 2 months before I came across transformational breath, where it was a very, very dark point, and I ended up taking an overdose of alcohol and pills and tried to take my life, basically. I ended up in hospital, and then the following day, thank God, you know, I was okay, and obviously full of guilt because of what I'd done, and because when you're in that place, it's very hard to explain depression to people, because when you're in that place, you're not necessarily in that place the following day.
Yeah.
So 2 months later, I walked into this workshop I was working at the time. A lot of things in my life changed. I'd been working in media, having a great time working in media, but I was finding that I was having a lot of panic attacks as well when I was working in media, and not because I wasn't loving my job, but just because my body was sending me all of these signals that something needed to stop. Because I had already trained in massage therapy, and then I started working in a yoga center, helping them with their events, so working with special needs kids, I walked into this workshop, which was transformational breath. And I had no idea what to expect. And it was just literally, I could feel every single cell in my body. I was sweating, I was crying, it was very physical, it was very emotional, and I knew that I'd found something incredibly powerful, and it was there, you know, the answer literally right under my nose, my breath. So I just kept going back. You know, the second workshop I went to, I found too hard, I walked out, but then I kept going back, to the point that really, very quickly, I had the most incredible doctor, who at the time was very, very supportive of me. And she gave me her blessing to come off the medication with her support and with the therapist and with the breath work. And I haven't taken medication now actually for 10 years. So it's really lovely to be doing this with you, actually, you know, today, because it is 10 years ago. And now I totally celebrate life and just am so grateful to be here and to be sharing this work, because it changed my life in not in just that way. I mean, it wasn't always pretty. It was quite uncomfortable some of the times when I was going into this breath work, because it's not, you know, you're having to go deep, deep down into your darkest demons. And I think that's why we choose to shut those parts of us out, because that's not always comfortable. But yeah, the more and more I was just stripping away those layers, the more I've just been able to just be really comfortable with who I am.
It's so wonderful that you are now 10 years down the line, and that, you know, in your book and through doing stuff like this and all the work that you do, you can give other people hope that feel like there is none. Because, you know, I've certainly spoken to a lot of people since I wrote Happy who are in currently a very dark place. And I think one question that's omnipresent is, well, can I be okay one day? You know, because you don't feel like you're going to be when you're in a dark place, when you're experiencing anxiety, depression, whatever mental health issue you've got. And I think to know that there are so many avenues you can go down and things that you can try, and it's finding that thing that works for you. And I'm so intrigued that this work for you, as soon as you went to that workshop, it was instant. That's that's quite an exceptional experience to go through, that you knew it wasn't just going to be another one of those, well, I'm going to feel all right for a bit, and you'd stumbled across something really impactful for you personally.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there were times throughout the year when I was going on that journey, where I keep going back, where sometimes I would be right back into rock bottom in the place where I was. But the difference was that I wasn't taking medication this time. And I knew that I had this tool, which was my breath, that could help me to breathe into that and to breathe through it. And it's, you know, really, I think we're searching a lot for people to fix us.
Yes.
And to heal us. And we have, you know, our breath is, it's amazing. It's connected to all the systems in our body. And we have this healing tool. And sadly, on a global level, anxiety, depression and stress is at an all-time high. Mm. Not enough people talk about it. A lot of people are medicated, and there's no shame in taking medication. You know, in some people it's really, really necessary, but I just don't think that there is enough access to this information, probably because it's free, you know, if you can, you can heal yourself. Mm. And also there's quite a lot of shame that comes with anxiety, with panic attacks, with depression. You know, it takes a lot of energy trying to suppress that and trying to go out into the world and present yourself and trying to hide it as well. And it can be, you know, although we're more connected than ever, like with social media and with the internet, and we have all of this knowledge, and, you know, there's a lot of people that feel more disconnected.
Completely.
Than ever.
Completely.
And so I think that's fundamentally, with this work, what we're doing is getting people to just reconnect to themselves, reconnect, you know, trust themselves again, reconnect to their gut feelings, and become a friend of our minds, which are really beautiful, but also can be very fragile and very destructive all at the same time.
When you were saying there that during that period where you were learning about this breath work and that you were experiencing it for the first time and it was having a positive effect, you were sometimes thrown back to darker places. But do you think through that breath work, you were aware that it was a process that you needed to go through, and actually you were kind of facing up to a lot of fears and feelings and emotions that you were suppressing before, and this was actually helping to bring it all out to the surface?
Yeah, totally. Because what we do is, when we start to feel numb or to feel these heavier emotions, then generally what we'll do is we'll go to social media, or we'll go to the internet.
Quick fix.
Or we'll drink alcohol, or we'll go shopping, or whatever those things are, those distractions. So that's easier to distract ourselves. Actually going inward and not doing that, it's, like I said, again, it's just, it can be quite sticky and quite uncomfortable, and we have to see parts of ourselves that we don't necessarily like. But every time I was going through that, again, it's like with breathing patterns, we just see our patterns, that what triggers us, what makes us react. And when we're breathing into that, then if we're holding on to like anger or resentment or blame or guilt or shame or whatever that is, then if we're holding on to that, then we can't access that innate joy and that innate feeling of love that is always there deep inside us. But getting there, well, it's proper warrior work, really, getting there and doing it, because you have to do the work and you have to go inwards. And sometimes you might feel a bit, you know, it's, when we're working with the breath, you are detoxing as well. So you're detoxing your mind, you're detoxing your physical systems. So you might feel a little bit like you have a hangover or a bit groggy maybe, but, you know, with a headache for the day after. Mm. But you're just constantly clearing, clearing and clearing. And, you know, stuff happens every day, doesn't it? Daily challenges happen every day. I'm not this perfect being where, you know, nothing can stop me in my tracks. I think we all still react, but I can respond very differently now.
Isn't it funny how in society we are now almost sort of trained into thinking that if you are feeling edgy, wobbly, a bit off centre, we are instantly reaching outwards. We very rarely think, oh, I need to go in for this moment and work out what's really going on. As you say, it's you go buy something, you go on the internet, and it's all of those exterior stimulations that we're kind of reaching for. And that's what I love about your work. And when I first came to you to see you for a session, I didn't know what I was coming into. I had no clue at all. Obviously, you'd written a bit for the book, so you'd articulated brilliantly what it was. But I think until you've experienced it, it's a very different situation. So I came in to see you, and at the time, I'd been having panic attacks for the first time in my life, and I didn't understand what was going on. And I definitely noticed the first thing for me to change was my breath. And I'd never really been aware of that before. A bit doing yoga, but really, in that moment of sort of heightened panic, it was my breath that instantly kind of I lost control of, or it felt like I'd lost control of. So coming to see you, it felt already like a good adventure to start on. And I was massively intrigued. And my own experience the first time I came in, and I wrote about this in my book as well, was mad. It was absolutely bonkers. I'm sure a lot of people listening now will think, well, what is it? What are you doing? What is this breathing? I can kind of explain what I felt during that session, and I'd love you to explain what is really going on. But I remember laying on this lovely little mattress that's in front of me now, and you had some nice music playing, and you got me to do this sort of cycle of breath that felt slightly laboured at first. It felt like quite an effort. I thought, oh God, I don't know how long I can keep doing this for. And then I was just sort of into the rhythm of it. And then certainly on my first session, floodgates opened, and it was tears, so many tears. And my body was very tingly, and I had sort of pins and needles in my hands and feet. And I could feel certainly almost tension releasing in certain pockets of my body that I didn't really know were there. And I was sort of seeing a lot of different imagery, and it was a bit like being in a hypnotic state almost. It felt a bit detached in a way, although it was very lucid and I was very aware of what was going on. So can you explain more eloquently what that breathing cycle is and what the hell happens during that process?
Yeah. What we're doing with this work is we're going into the places that we aren't necessarily breathing into. So many of us are breathing in our chest. So what we're doing is we're looking at our breathing patterns. And are we chest breathers, or are we belly breathers? Are we breath holders? Are we shallow breathers? And so on. So what we're doing is really looking at, the first step is to open up the respiratory system to its full capacity, to get past that tension and to get past those blockages. And because many of us, especially in this society, are living in flight or fight, far too often.
Yeah, I know I do that.
Like when if we're late for work, when we're trying to hit deadlines, when the kids are playing up, when we're looking at our to-do list and so on, or when we're in a traffic jam. Everybody can feel it differently, and everybody has a totally different experience with this work. It's always, always totally different. And some of us are more sensitive than others, and some of us are more, you know, don't necessarily experience anxiety quite as much as others. But when we go into flight or fight, what happens to our physiology is it can go into chaos, or it does go into chaos, because it's getting ready for battle. That's what flight or fight is. We're getting ready to fight for our lives. So when the body starts to prepare for battle, the muscles start to tense. Our muscles start to tense. We start to breathe more in our chest, and are using our intercostal muscles, which are the muscles in our ribs and in the shoulders and in the neck. And our blood pressure rises, so people might start to feel heat, or they might get hot or sweaty. Our respiratory system starts to speed up. We activate the sympathetic nervous system, which is our flight or fight button. So both of that, we have the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system. Ideally, what we want to be doing is stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system. And we do that by deep diaphragmatic breathing. And the brain is constantly sending streams of data down to the body. And the body is constantly sending streams of data up to the brain. And some of those messages are the wrong messages. So when we're getting all these little signals, for example, when we're having panic attacks, and, you know, like when you've mentioned before, and sometimes you can't really name why it's happening, but the body is responding in that way and it just totally takes over control, then what we're doing with this work is having a little reset and a rewire of all of the systems in our body, because our breath correlates with the cardiovascular system, correlates with our brain. So when we activate the flight or fight system, then we send messages up to the amygdala, which is our fear center, and the prefrontal cortex part of our brain might start to shut down. Hence, we have brain freeze and we forget what we're going to say, because that's our communication. So when we're working with breath, we're working with both of those systems, which is why sometimes it can feel like it's quite intense. And it's like, oh my God, this feels like it's really uncomfortable. Also, as human beings, we find it really hard to let go of control. Yeah, I mean, that's like one of our hardest things. So with this work, it is all about letting go. So when we notice, like, the brain will be like, oh, nothing's happening. Oh, this is really hard. You know, the mind is like the monkey mind, just keeps trying to take us up, because the mind thinks it's HQ, thinks it's MD. So it doesn't really necessarily want us to be going on this trip right now, because it's trying to defend us. It's trying to, you know, there's a reason why we do have these defenses, but actually it's just, you know, our body is a bit like a biological recording of our past, and it's holding on to all of these memories like a little filing cabinet of memories. And if we can go back and backtrack that and just let the body, you know, trusting our body, trusting our gut, which there are millions of neurons which are constant, you know, that are gut, you know, when you say trust your gut instinct, That saying comes with backing from science, that, you know, in our gut, we hold on to a lot of emotions, and there are millions of neurons sending messages to our brain. What we're doing is, when we're working, we're really looking at letting go of control, for example, which can be very, very hard. And it's like, well, if I let go of control, then everything might just crumble around me. So really, really trusting and surrendering, so that ultimately when we let go of those heavier emotions, those past stories, those negative thought patterns, physical tension, that's when we can connect to that space inside us, which ultimately is where we all want to get to, which is inner peace and joy.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And in this modern world, we have basically become, again, sort of trained to believe that our brains are everything. Our brain, like you say, is the MD, and it's saying to us, this is what we're going to do, this is my plan, this is how things are going to go. And we're all generally really underestimating our breathing and how much of an impact that can have. I think most of us would hold our hands up and go, well, I didn't really think that our breath work could have any impact on anything. I'm just breathing to get oxygen into my lungs, and that's that. But it is having a direct communication with every cell in our body.
Yeah, we change the way that we feel and we think by changing the way that we breathe.
I reckon that is an epiphany that many people out there will
grab hold of. The way that we breathe is just indicative to the way that we feel about life. And we breathe 20,000 times a day. And without our breath, we wouldn't be here. But really, until, you know, we only really get trained about proper breathing techniques. Obviously, we get them in yoga, but, you know, when we're giving birth.
Yes.
Because that's about how to calm the systems down and how to manage pain. And then it's like, well, then why are we not teaching us in every, you know, in every circumstance to be conscious of our breath?
Yeah.
Because when you are conscious of your breath, it's very overwhelming sometimes when you look at what is going on in the world. And we can't always change everything that's going on in the world, but we can change how it is sitting with us inside and how we are reacting to it. We can change what's happening inside of us.
And breath work is such a huge part of that. When I was laying on this mattress here, having that first experience where you were sort of guiding me through the cycle of breathing, and also sort of pointing to different bits of my body where you know, you could sense there was tension, and you, you know, you use the language, you know, breathe into that area. And I could sort of, I could do that. I could visualize it and I could feel the breath going into that space. Is that just about sort of visualizing where that breath's going and sort of sending the breath into that space?
Some people are more visual, some people feel more. So again, there's no right or wrong to that. And what we're trying to encourage everybody to do, I wish that they've taught this at schools every day, is to start with the breath, breathing using your deep diaphragmatic breath, using your lower abdominal muscles. So the lungs, obviously we're not bringing the air into our belly, but when we breathe deeply, so when we're inhaling and when we expand our belly, but then we increase our lung capacity, we release tension that's in the diaphragm, so then there's allowing more oxygen to flow and more oxygen to come in. And when we are breathing deeply into our belly, then we start to bring the breath up into the chest and up into the midsection. So really with this work, what we're encouraging people to do is like this breath wave, like an ocean wave. The breath is coming in and out like a wave. And often, so for example, maybe I'll be working with acupressure deep in your lower abdominals and just encouraging you to breathe down there, because some people just haven't breathed down there for a very, very long time. And that's where this work is really powerful, because we're combining acupressure and the affirmations and movement and sound.
So when we're little newborn babies and we are taking those first gulps of air, and for a very long time until we're conscious of worry, problems, concerns, you know, exterior things going on around us, how are we breathing? That's the correct way to breathe, right? What is that? Is that all deep belly breath when we're little?
Yeah, when you look at a little baby and they're lying down in a cot and they're asleep, and you'll notice it with cats and dogs as well, they're breathing in their belly and they're breathing in their midsection and the chest and the back. And when they're lying down, it just looks like the whole body is breathing and there's no little chinks or clinks in the breath. Mm. And the same with toddlers. We're just, if you look at toddlers, they've got this really beautiful belly breath, everything's just hanging out. And then at some point, maybe we get told to hold our bellies in, or that's not quite as attractive. So then we start to not breathe so much, maybe in the belly. But they are, babies and toddlers are breath gurus, as far as I'm concerned.
And what sort of bad habits do we as teens or young adults or adults get into with our breathing? When people come to see you, what are the more prevalent sort of breathing bad habits that you see?
There's a whole list. And I think that the primary ones are breath holding.
Yeah, I do that.
So when we're on our phone, or when we're, you know, texting people or on social media or on the computer, we're holding our breath. Mm. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to do the transformational breath with this. You just breathe deeply into your belly and just become a lot more conscious about how you're breathing. And then you become a lot more focused and a lot more productive. A lot of people will come because they're getting tension, maybe tightness in their chest when they're breathing. So they're finding it quite labored. Or if people are suffering from anxiety or panic attacks, and those people already know what it does to their breath.
Yeah.
I get so many people coming with so many different issues, and it's not necessarily about the way that they're breathing. It might be about the way that they're feeling, or they want to improve physical performance, or they want to work on something that's on an emotional level. So really there's no end to breathing patterns. But yeah, breath holding, shallow breathing. You know, there's a lot of people who, because we're in a yoga studio here, and it can really help to expand their yoga practice, because they're letting go of the tension so that they can breathe into different parts of their respiratory system.
So say someone comes to you and they know that, or they've experienced certain problems and you've identified, or they have, that they do hold their breath, for instance, as a specific. What is that doing to you physically and mentally, if that is the habit that you've got into, that when you're stressed, because I tend to hold mine up here, and it's almost like if I breathe, everything's going to crumble. So I'm kind of keeping it up here, and it is a sense of control. But when I'm doing that, what is physically and mentally happening, and what am I sort of stopping by doing that?
Well, we're stopping ourselves from being in the moment. Again, that so many of us are just, we're so busy getting from A to B and D to Z that we just forget to be in the moment. And so we're missing all of these magical things around us. On a physical level, if we're holding our breath, then 80% of energy comes in via the breath. So that's going to give us less energy and make us feel more exhausted. You know, what we're doing when we're breathing and we're consciously breathing, and we're breathing fully in our belly and in our chest, then that's giving us a really good internal massage. And when we are holding on to our breath, then it's affecting, again, the nervous system. And it's sending the these patterns. So then we feel physical tension, or it affects our immune system, and it affects the blood pressure as well. So, and then on the mental level, we spend so much time in our heads. We're all very, very heady. When we have these negative thought patterns, and when we're comparing ourselves to others, or when we have this fear of letting people down, or fear of what we're going to say, and so on, when we're holding on to our breath, it's stopping that train of thought, and it's stopping. If the breath isn't flowing, then we're not flowing.
So if you are in a moment of sheer anxiety, and I think there'll be loads of people listening to this now that might not have it on an acute level of getting panic attacks, but will certainly have things in life, confrontation, nerves around work, parenting, relationships in their life. If you're in that moment of anxiety, is it enough just to literally concentrate on your breathing? Can that be a game changer?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's many other things that you can do with that. It's not just about your breath. Sometimes we might need to make a change in our life. And it's normally fear that stops us from doing that and keeps us very stuck. So, you know, when we're feeling anxious or we're having panic attacks, the body is normally is sending us a message that something isn't right. And so we know that when we make that change, then maybe we're going to ruffle some feathers, and maybe, you know, it's like stepping into the unknown. And so therefore it can hold us back. But when we're working with the breath, and it helps us to breathe into that anxiety, and then to breathe through that anxiety and into those panic attacks as well. You know, just things like taking a step out and going for a walk and being in nature.
Yeah.
That just really brings everything back into perspective, because when you've got anxiety and when you're having panic attacks, everything is so full, the head is so full, you can't think straight. You literally can't think straight.
No.
So connecting us to the breath brings us back into our body. It grounds us. You know, this work isn't just about the beautiful visuals, the feeling of inner peace and that spiritual connection. It's also very, very grounding, and reconnects us to the earth, to the ground, and just helps bring everything back into perspective, and so that it's less overwhelming.
That's really interesting, because I think that's what I found very beneficial about it, is a lot of my problems, especially to do with my mind, it is all so trapped in this small section of my body, just up in my head. And as soon as I do that breath work, I am instantly just more aware of my body, which then takes a bit of focus away from all these worries and thoughts and analysis that I'm constantly going through. But say you've got the opposite happening. Say you have someone come to you and they have a physical ailment, you know, like you say, tension, or they have pain in their body. How does the breath work affect that, and how can it improve matters?
Yeah, well, everything's all connected, isn't it? So mentally, physically and emotionally, everything is all connected. So we have 50,000 thoughts a day, and not all of those thoughts are very useful. And therefore, if we're creating stress in the body and the mind is overthinking, then it can create physical ailments as well. So there's an incredible woman called Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, who's won a Nobel Peace Prize, and her recent research, she's a scientist, is around chromosomes and telomeres. And for those who meditate or practice breath work more frequently, what it's proven is that the telomeres, which are the protein, which are the cap protein caps on the chromosomes, were longer than those who weren't. And
wow.
Those chromosomes are part, you know, it's part of cell division, part of our aging process, part of, you know, battling against disease. So really, when we're working with the breath, we are, you know, it's great. Science now, it's not just about the emotional part. It's about the physical part as well, how we are really helping all of that process. Mm. You know, when people are coming because they have digestive problems, so they have constipation or IBS, again, that can be because of stress, because it's emotional, because we feel it all in our gut. So when we are coming out of the mind and connecting to this innate intelligence that our body has, then we are talking again to our body and we're talking again to all of the systems. Again, the same with tension. When we're feeling, I used to have terrible shoulders. I had to have a massage every week because the pain was so intense. And now that I practice breath work every day, I no longer have to have a massage every week.
Wow.
You know, when we're working with people on a physical level with asthma, so that's, again, it's all about breathing patterns. You know, working with a lot of people with asthma who no longer use their inhalers.
Really? Gosh.
That's just really a few examples.
It's bizarre how another problem with the modern world is that we've perhaps really lost the association between body and mind. We see them as these two very separate entities that are just running along sort of parallel to each other, but aren't really affecting each other. And, you know, we might feel something physical and go to see a doctor, have something mentally feel awry and off balance and go and see perhaps a counsellor or a therapist, and actually we're not looking at the bigger picture and how one is affecting the other. And that's such a bizarre trait of the modern world.
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's that thing about disconnection, isn't it? And the breath is the bridge with our body.
Yes, it's the bridge.
And our mind. And like our body, it's our home. So we really have to look after our home. And if we don't, then it really starts to send us those messages. I mean, I get people who come with me with panic attacks and anxiety who are very, you know, they're CEOs and they're hedge funders and they've got their employees and they're very happy and very stable in their lives and they can't understand why they're having panic attacks. That might be something that they haven't processed, that they haven't processed grief. And they haven't processed emotions in the past because they've just, we're just so busy doing
trucking
all
on.
The time. We're just like, we've just got to get on with it, you know, rather than being. And it's really representative to what we're doing with our planet. You know, in the oceans, we just chuck rubbish into the oceans and we, you know, destroy our rainforest and our oxygen and our breath. You know, the oxygen that we breathe comes from the oceans and it comes from the rainforest. So it's very symbolic of the disconnection that we have with our home.
Yeah, so true.
And when the way that our body is our home and how we just listen to our head. And we're very good at taking, you know, like the planet just keeps giving us. And the way that our bodies just keeps giving us, it's amazing. It's a miracle.
It is.
The way, you know, it really is a miracle.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, how all of these systems work. But we have to give our bodies a helping hand if we want to have a healthy life.
That's always a good leveler for me when I remember that, especially when I was pregnant, my brain that I think is working everything out and you know, propelling me over here and making this stuff happen here, my body, your body, everyone's bodies are doing all these brilliant things, digesting food, eliminating toxins, growing new nails and hair. My brain's not thinking about, oh, you must grow a new fingernail now, or, you know, it's that's all just happening anyway. And I think, again, bring it back to the physical, we kind of have discarded that somewhat and put less focus on it, and it is all about the brain. And again, that's why the breath work is so brilliant in just reminding us of that and the importance of that. And I don't think there's many people out there that would go, oh yeah, I really honor what my body does every day. But we all definitely honor what our brains are doing, because we're so conscious of, if I'm not learning this, studying that, reading this, you know, trying to understand this person, and that's all very mind-based. We put so much importance on that. Do you think, you know, like toddlers and babies,
well, it's how we're conditioned, isn't
exactly.
it really? It's just how we're conditioned in life, in the way to be. There's not really part of the curriculum in schools about how to be happy in life and the importance of breathing.
Yes. And also, that's quite a cultural thing. I'm imagining, and I know that you've travelled a lot with your work, that there's pockets of the planet that are much more aware of that and that haven't got so sucked into the whirlwind that we live in a very kind of hectic Western society.
Yeah, I think that, but more and more that you see that on a global level, it's the anxiety and the depression and stress is rising.
Yeah.
But I used to spend a lot of time in India and then just seeing the way that that has changed in the way that, you know, Western life and society comes in, and it's all about the hotels and getting a bigger car and then getting the clothes, and just seeing actually how that society really got really changed just because we go in there and make our, you know, make our stamp. And when I was in Goa, when I was 19, it was just all about living on the fat of the land and fishing for your dinner and getting fruit and just swimming and just all the simple things in life.
It is about simplicity, isn't it? Because I think in my own life and having experienced depression and, you know, having peaks and troughs still now, if I just always take it back to the simple, that for me is what I know works. It's never going to be something that's overcomplicated, unreachable, or a magical cure. It's going to be walking, looking around at nature, talking to great people that I love, eating well, and now breathing, that I, you know, now that I've kind of experienced this and I understand it. And we kind of forget about those simple gems and look for the complicated.
Yeah, you know, I'm grateful for every single breath that I take every day. And it's kind of what, you know, what are we grateful for? And happiness is like a state of, it's like a state of being, isn't it? And even in our sadness, we can be grateful for that because of the lessons that we get from that. Yeah. And how we grow. I think that people get very detached from their feelings. And we don't necessarily talk enough about, especially with men as well. I mean, more now. I mean, it's talking about, I mean, there are some incredible people out there and there are some amazing things that are happening out there. And I think people more and more are talking about this and it's fantastic. And you can really feel there's this movement and there's a big change that is going on right now. It's a scary time, but it's also a really exciting time as well.
You know, the one thing that I loved about my first session was that I could, in a very tangible way, experience and feel stuff coming up that I know I hadn't dealt with. I might have not always been able to pinpoint what that was, but there was certainly sadness and anger and lots of emotions that I could label. How does that work? Because that is one thing that I walked away going, how did that happen? Like, how is that breath cycle bringing that up and bringing that out?
That's a really good question. So when we go back to when we're babies and when we're toddlers, then we're really present. And we have no hang-ups and we have no inhibitions. And if we want to have a tantrum in the middle of the supermarket, then we will. And, you know, if we don't want to go to sleep, then we'll let our mum or dad know. And then when we are 3 to 6, then we start to get conditioned by our surroundings, by our parents, by our cultures, and by our school. And then we have all of these different experiences. So our breath correlates with every emotion, every experience, and every feeling. So when we are 3 to 7, that's when we emotionally develop. And when we start really becoming much more aware of what makes people happy, what gets people attention, what scares us, what scares other people. And then maybe we find that things are a bit uncomfortable or we don't fit in or that didn't feel very nice. So then we shut little parts of us down. And then throughout life, you know, at school, it's not always easy in the playground. And then in our teenage years, you know, all that teenage angst, and then our 20s should be the best years of our lives, but we don't necessarily know who we are or where we're going and so on. So all of those experiences and all of those moments, our breath is listening, correlating to all of that. Our breath patterns are changing. You know, the rhythms of our breath patterns are changing all the time. And we're not necessarily processing it. So we're pushing a lot of it down. We're closing, shutting part little parts of ourselves down. And so what we're doing with this work is just in that way of actually letting go of the control, is we are tracking everything back and then going back to, sometimes it's very clear what's coming up in these breathing sessions. And sometimes we have no idea. So sometimes emotion might come up and you might have no idea why. And actually, it doesn't really matter. It's all release. When we cry, it's all release. When we're yawning, it's a release. And when we're feeling those physical sensations, it's all a release that's happening in the body. That's why it's so good to work with kids, because you can clear stuff really, really quickly. But with us, when those patterns and when those triggers and those little messengers that come up in our lives, they keep coming up in our lives because they're showing us this work that we still need to be working on. Mm. Each session is just always about just stripping away those layers. And but it's one of those things, once you start digging, there's always a bit more digging to do.
Yeah, because it is very magical, I was really shocked after that first session that just breathing, and there was no other alchemy or whatever going on apart from, you know exactly what you're doing and you were guiding me in the most perfect way. But my breath was bringing this stuff up, and it was weird and surprising. And I hadn't walked in thinking that was going to happen. I thought I would just come out going, oh, I feel really relaxed now. But it was, like you say, there's pockets, and it was, a little key to a door, and then that would come up, and then something else popping up. Can you talk us through what that breath cycle is? Because I've sort of forgotten as well, but it's an inhale and then a sharp exhale that you kind of get into the cycle of.
What we're doing is it's a conscious connected breath, and I wouldn't recommend that people do this on their own for too long at first.
It's really to have guidance.
It's good to have guidance, because you don't want to hyperventilate and you want to make sure that you get the technique right. I mean, so many of us are in a rush to get everything right, and sometimes I think it's better to actually just really slow it down, which is why in my book I talk about the breathing patterns and really making sure you're breathing in the belly first. So what we're doing is we're creating this circular connected breath. There's no pause in between the inhale and the exhale. And the emphasis is on the inhale and the exhale. It's not a sharp exit, but it's just a little sigh. We're just letting go. We're not pushing it out. We're not forcing it out. We're just letting it go. And often, sometimes in the sessions, people will find that that's really hard and they start pushing the exhale out. But what's that showing is that there's fear that we're holding on to, or that fear of letting go of control. And with time, then it's we're creating this breath, which is the breath within the breath, and it just feels like the breath is just doing it itself, and you're effortless. It's effortless. Absolutely. And then it's like, once you've done that work, then we go into a really, really deep relaxation, where by the end of it, hopefully you're just feeling a lot more energized and a lot more lighter and clearer, because it's like having a real spring clean of the mind. So you've decluttered all of that stuff and all of those thoughts, so that you just feel in this space where you're a lot more alive.
And can you give us any sort of good specific techniques or tricks if you are facing stress or anxiety? What sort of breathing pattern is really good for that, when people know that there's panic on the horizon or something that they feel nervous around?
So just keep it really, really simple, and it's always good to connect your feet to the ground and just be aware of the room around you, because then that sometimes that can help us to come out of our heads. And then when you're inhaling, to expand the belly, so you're pushing the belly out, and then as you're inhaling, the belly comes in. And just put your hands on your belly, so as you're breathing in, nice deep inhale, and then just let the exhale go. And then, so really, that's just sending that message to the brain and to the body that we're okay, and we're in a relaxed digest state.
Again, it goes back to getting out of that fight or flight, which we are all too, most of us,
and
too quick to get into.
And the more that you practice, the more you will notice it. It's not going to necessarily happen straight away. But the more that you practice it, the more that you will find. I mean, I used to have terrible anxiety and panic attacks about having to get up in front of people and talk in public or in large groups. Just, I would either have to have a drink or I'd run away. I wouldn't do it. So it just stops us from doing so much stuff or saying so much stuff. And now I have to get up and talk all the time in front of people. But and I enjoy it. And I never thought that I would. And so it's just, you know, it's real proof for me that it works.
And you said earlier, you know, you do practice every day. This is very much part of your routine and how you keep yourself balanced. Do you still have times where you dip into depressions or you feel very low?
It's a way of life for me now. So I always work with, you know, I make it habitual. So I'll start in the morning and with a little bit of breathing practice. And I'm always conscious about my breathing because I don't stop talking about breathing. So it's very much part of my life. And yeah, we all have life challenges, don't we? It doesn't mean that everything's perfect all the time. And, you know, sometimes things might be going on with my health or with relationships or struggles that, you know, to do with work. And in answer, yeah, to your question about the depression, because when I wrote my book originally and I talked about how it helped me to totally clear depression, actually sometimes it might, I do feel it coming back, but I'm a lot more gentle with it now and I just allow it to be there and then breathe into it. And maybe I just have a little day where I just have to be inward. And I work with the breath and then it helps me to get through it. And there'll be times when I feel anxious as well and I have anxiety. But again, I just work with the breath and it helps me.
I think, like, you know, one phrase that you use a lot is letting go, because that seems to be something we all really struggle with. And if you are facing problems in life, mental, physical, whatever, letting go and sort of almost surrendering to it can feel near impossible, but it is the key to, and it's again going back to that fluidity and linking it with breath and a cycle of breath and I guess the sort of birth and death of a breath and the birth and death of everything you're going through in life. If it is an experience, you know, it will pass at some point, and sometimes we can forget that and feel very stuck. And again, that breathing is such a simple reminder, again, like the seasons or anything that's got that cyclic, you know, rhythm to it.
Yeah, it's like we all get exhausted by the end of winter and then we wonder why. But it's because we all just keep pushing through. It's like if we listen more to the natural rhythms of the seasons and work with them. And in the same way that if you feel sadness or if we feel anger, of course we can't have that tantrum like a two-year-old. But it is really important to honour all of those feelings, to honour the sadness. And if they, you know, if I'm feeling angry about something, then I will take myself off for a breathing session. And as you know, we work with sound as well, and then we can make some sound and just let it all out. So yeah, it's just really important that we what we're doing is just accessing those feelings, all of them. They're all welcome in the room.
It's also a real reminder of the importance of allowing yourself to feel stuff, isn't it? Because like you say, you know, certainly when I was having panic attacks, I did feel embarrassed. I thought, why none of my friends, how come they can cope with everything? Why am I the one that is so pathetic that I can't drive on the motorway or whatever instance is bringing them on? And I did feel embarrassed. And then as soon as I started talking about them and I sort of, again, let go, it was a huge relief. And I think we do it with many emotions. You know, we've labelled them very much positive or negative, and sadness and anger and frustration all are kind of negative emotions. Whereas, as you say, you know, they're great spaces to learn, and they're all very natural things to go through, but we suppress them. And that's perhaps the starting point of another problem, because we're pushing them all down.
We're suppressing our emotions when we suppress anger and we suppress guilt and shame and so on. Then, you know, we give ourselves such a hard time. Our inner voices, it's like the internal dysfunctional family that's constantly telling us we could have done this better and you could have done that better. And, oh, I can't believe you're having a panic attack again. And, oh, you've got anxiety and you should be over this by now. And it's like, pull yourself together. All of these things that we you know, we tell ourselves. And we know that, you know, if someone is in pain or they're upset, you wouldn't talk to them like
so
that.
So true.
So why do we do that to ourselves?
We're horrible to ourselves.
We really
are. I'm so mean to myself sometimes. I have to remind myself that I am my worst critic always about everything in life. And again, just sort of let go and not stress about that as well.
Yeah, and stop comparing ourselves to others because,
like...
We measure success externally, don't we? We're always kind of looking, comparing ourselves, you know, to other people. And that can be a downward spiral, really. Just, you know, just be happy with really who you are.
I know, I need to do that one.
With transformational breath, all of these breaths, we're all reaching higher states of awareness, higher states of consciousness. That is the... you know, the premise, the way where you want to go with this work. Once you've let go, once you've got through all the sediment and the, you know, the dregs of the emotional stuff and the stories, then it's like, then you can really explore and expand your awareness inside. And that can take you on this magical mystery tour of which is, you know, which is inside us.
And not on a smartphone.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Yeah. You know, it's like some people like can come out of a session just feeling like they've been on holiday for 2 weeks.
No, I certainly felt like trippy is one word. And also just, yeah, kind of floating above it all, sort of not as in it as I was when I walked in beforehand. Still like completely connected to it, but in a way where I could reason with things that I was stressed about. And I couldn't have done that before. And it was certainly when I was... lying down here was a bizarre state of mind that I had never, you know, been into before. And that was
it's all about connection again, isn't it? And spiritual connection. And everyone has their own belief systems. But the word spiritus comes from the Latin word life and to breathe. So when we're connecting to our breath and we're connecting to spirit, those experiences can be very deep and very profound, and people access them with colours or with visuals or just innate feelings of peace. Yeah, it's endless.
Well, look, that's so wonderful, and it's been brilliant talking to you today.
Thank you.
And learning more, because I'm just so intrigued and interested by what you do. So thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to the wonderful Rebecca Dennis, who has become just a great friend of mine over the years. Rebecca, you are a blimmin' diamond. And if you want more Rebecca in your life, and quite frankly, who wouldn't, then do come along and see her in the flesh and gain her wisdom and try her practices. You just need to be at the Happy Place Festival on the first weekend of August. We're at Chiswick House, and then on the 7th of September and 8th of September in Tatton Park, Manchester. Get your tickets from happyplacefestival.com. Next week, we'll be tackling parenthood with child psychotherapist Philippa Perry.
I'm not going to sabotage your podcast and smash your equipment up or anything like that, which is what I might have done when I was two.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say, oh, this is information for me. This jealousy is telling me that I would like to have a podcast, so maybe I can have a podcast.
That episode is a must for anyone with young kids or about to become a parent or someone with parents, because also you get to really look at your own childhood too. Get it as soon as it drops next Monday when you subscribe. Do it now for free through any of your usual podcast apps. Thanks again to Rebecca, to the producers of this episode, Matt Hill and Lucy Dearlove at Rethink Audio, and to you lot for listening. So appreciate it. Big love. See ya.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle, dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle, or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.